if you can justify why you're giving it to the other party, meaning that the other party is greater tam tachum or more necessary to Klal Yisrael, a Jew has a right, and it makes a big difference here between obligation and right. I don't have an obligation to hand it to the other party. I have a right to keep it for myself. I have no obligation to give it to the other party. The question is, am I allowed to give it to the other party? And Sefer Chassidim rules Allah, and it's brought by the first and the Shulchan Aruch, that if you make a decision that the other party is more necessary to the community, you're a shoemaker, and he's a doctor, and he saved many lives, or he's a great Talmud Chacham, that's a decision you have a right to make. You, a Jew has a right to lay down their lives.
That's not the case in the Gemara.
Which case do you want to
put? The Gemara doesn't mention a Gemara. So who is more important than the other?
Not in this case, but in many other cases. Gemara is a huge encyclopedia. And in the Gemara, I'll give you the exact reference, Sulkin Nun Amar Aleph, to give you one sample. The Gemara says that there is no greater mitzvah than to lay down your life to save other Jews or another Jew, and the Gemara gives a case of it right there, which comes out of a look. And we're not going to go into details here, but there is a strong opinion, and Sefer Chassidim paskens halacha, that if you can justify it, again I'm stressing that, if you can justify it, you have a right to lay down your life. And then the William Brown and the Native American law says, very simple. You can volunteer to go overboard, and Jewishly you can volunteer to go overboard, and in fact halacha says the first thing you have to do is call for volunteers to go overboard. If somebody volunteers to go overboard, you have a right to lay down your life to save the tzibur. Remember, not everybody has to die. There are a certain number of people have to die so that the others can live. If you volunteer to go overboard, that's your privilege. It's a decision you can make so long as you can justify it. And the justification of William Brown would be that by sacrificing a few, the many will live. But that's a decision you can make about yourself. What you can't do is volunteer your neighbor. That's what you can't do on the William Brown. All right, I want to get back to passage 2. Passage 2, there are two important distinctions and why it's not relevant. Distinction 1 on passage 2, the person who owned the water was never in danger. He's fine. His life is not even in danger. He has a flask of water, he has enough water to get to settled land, he has no problem. And therefore, Chayefer Kulvin, he has no obligation to hand it to the other party. Nobody on the William Brown is in a better position than any other party. And therefore, it's not... What? You can do nothing on the sinking lifeboat right now. Everyone is dying together. The only way anyone will live, there's too much weight. The problem is weight in the lifeboat. The only way anyone will live is by casting someone else overboard. Okay? So no one's in a better position. I'll give you a suggestion as to who may be later in a better position. Halakhically, no one's in a better position. So the second reason is the one you gave, and it's crucial in passage 2. The person who dies, because I keep the water for myself, dies from the accident. I don't lay a hand on him. He doesn't have enough water. But on the William Brown, the only way anyone lives is by taking the life of another party. And let me tell you, on the William Brown, volunteers were called for. Nobody volunteered. That's the problem with William Brown. No volunteers except those two sisters that I mentioned went over voluntarily. That didn't solve the problem. So we go to passage 3. And one of you suggested quite wisely that passage 3 is relevant, and this, I got to tell you, the majority of halachists saw passage 3 as being the relevant passage. Because if you look at passage 3, even though it sounds very strange and very different from anything here, but it's going to be crucial for us, and I want to be sure you understand what passage 3 is about. Passage 3, if you read the words, says there are a group of women surrounded by pagans. The women ask that one of the women be handed, the outside group of pagans say they want a woman to be handed over, be raped. And if the women refuse to hand over a woman, they will come in and pay whoever they want. In fact, they will come in and rape all. What should you do? The Mishnah is very strong and unequivocal. And the Mishnah says, you can't hand anyone over. On Yimsu and Nefeshachas in Israel, you have it here. The Talmud is Tulam, on Yimsu and Nefeshachas. We'll talk about it. But here they didn't ask for us. Listen carefully. Now, I want to be sure you understand, because this is crucial. It's very relevant to the whole.